Sunday the 28th of October 2018, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Revelation Revealed. Sermon title, Plagues and Judgment. Bible reading, Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. Talk by Darrell Williams.
Reading this morning is Revelation 15, verses 1 to 9. Seven angels with seven plagues. I saw in heaven another great and marvellous sign. Seven angels with the last seven plagues. Last, because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass, mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image, and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God, and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvellous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great and marvellous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. We continue this morning looking at the book of Revelation, which is a controversial book and one which has been debated by theologians over the centuries. Not only is the book controversial, but some have questioned whether the book should even be included within the Bible, or whether it should have been left out when the canon of scriptures was first put together. One of the reasons for this is the difficulty of interpretation, as well as the different theological views, which are wide-ranging. For example, you can view some parts of Revelations as symbolic, something to take guidance from. There are those who consider some sections may describe actual events that have already happened and relate some of the imagery to the fall of the Roman Empire. And then there are sections within Revelation considered to be events that are yet to happen in the future. The book is full of powerful imagery, and some of those visions can come across as strange and perhaps frightening. It is a very different type of book compared to the rest of the New Testament. For a quick example, I looked over some of the titles of some of my most recent sermons, and here are five titles from some of those talks. Joy, not grumbling. He is risen. Make room to celebrate, make room for more, and finding our way. All these, I think you'd agree, are positive and encouraging titles. Just compare those to the title for this morning's talk, Plagues and Judgment. I only had to look at the title in comparison to previous talks to know by preaching on Revelation, we are dealing with challenging themes. What are we then to make as a church family of this complex book? If theologians cannot agree how you should interpretate Revelation, in what way can we be guided by this book this morning? Well, here's the first thing to say, and I think the most important. Despite the difficult visions and imagery of Revelation, I think the book is meant to be positive and one that should encourage Christians. I'm going to expand on a few of these from chapters 15 to 18. Whilst the book can be difficult, here are what I think are some of the key themes. The plagues and judgment remind us of Exodus, where God delivers the nation of Israel from its captors. Those who stand firm in faith will be delivered from evil and the bad things that happen in this world. As believers, we are already part of God's kingdom. God is just and righteous, and evil will not go unpunished. We can sing in grateful praise and worship to the Lord. Salvation is a choice. And whilst the imagery of Revelation may seem frightening and unpleasant, we are told in these chapters that those who face God's wrath also curse him and refused to repent. We need to be on our watch guard against evil and watch against evil deception that can draw us away from our church family and from Christ. God is just and righteous, and evil cannot overcome God and will face a final judgment. And God is fully in control. As Christians, we are already part of God's kingdom. And whilst the world can be a difficult and troubled place, we have nothing to fear. Jesus already won victory upon the cross, and salvation is a gift. We just need to accept Jesus into our lives. And that is all anyone needs to do to know his love and mercy. The pain and suffering of this world is temporary, whereas in the kingdom we worship God and share in joy and celebration. God is slow to anger, but evil within the world will not go unpunished and does not go unanswered. It is important we remain faithful and not be deceived by the world or led away from our faith. The evil one has already been defeated and is powerless against God. Christine last week gave that wonderful image of the old lion who was toothless and unable to bite. That is the devil, toothless and unable to bite. God's justice is fair and righteous, and great is his mercy and love. As mentioned earlier, some theologians view this book as symbolic, and it certainly likes to make use of symbolic imagery. For example, the number 7 is often used. My understanding is this refers to completeness or totality. If we look back at chapter 15, we are given an imagery of plagues. It reminds us of the 10 plagues of Israel, of Egypt, and of the Exodus. In this instance, however, we are told of 7 plagues. Chapter 16, we have described the 7 bowls of God's wrath and some of the plagues, and we can see how they appear similar. For example, in the original 10 plagues, water was turned into blood, boils broke out on people and animals, as well as darkness covered Egypt for 3 days. Chapter 16 describes ugly and painful sores breaking out, the sea turning to blood, and the throne of the beast being plunged into darkness. What should we make of these great plagues? Perhaps we should view them as visions of Exodus. Israel was enslaved in Egypt before being set free from their captivity. 10 plagues were inflicted on the Pharaoh and Egypt until the people of Israel are released. After they are granted freedom, the Pharaoh changes his mind, and the Israelites are pursued with Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and troops. We then have the famous story of the parting of the waves of the Red Sea. The Israelites crossing before the sea flows back, engulfing the Egyptian troops behind them. Afterwards, Moses and the Israelites sing a song of praise to the Lord. The song is echoed by the song read out this morning. Maybe in the context of Revelation, we can view this as we have all been rescued from a form of captivity. Israel was rescued from slavery in Egypt, where Jesus rescues us from sin. We can all sing praise to the Lord who has been victorious upon the cross. No matter how difficult life can become, we will all share in God's glory in heaven. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. As I was writing, I started thinking about my approach to ministry. There is a clear urgency to the Gospels. The reality of judgment is serious. And we are advised to remain on our guard at all times. Matthew 24:42-44. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Whilst this book does indeed contain difficult imagery, one thing I think is important is the tone we adopt when opportunities arise to share our faith with others and people who may not be Christians themselves. We are clearly told by Jesus in the Bible not to judge others. Jesus was himself questioned because he spent time amongst sinners and the outcasts of society. He teaches and guides, tells parables, and demonstrates his authority through miraculous signs and healings. This is a personal view, but I think it is important to consider carefully how we approach ministry opportunities with family, friends, and colleagues. Whilst there is a clear urgency, sometimes I prefer to show patience. I try to demonstrate my faith through my actions and be open about my faith so that people know that I am a Christian, but do so in a way that allows people to approach me should they want to talk more to me about my faith. This approach has led to some interesting conversations at after-work drinks and parties, where work colleagues have then decided that they want to talk more about Christianity. That is one of the reasons why I think Alpha has been successful, as it allows people to ask difficult questions in an environment where they do not feel their lives are being examined or questioned. The reality of judgment is serious, but one of the things that really stood out to me in the chapters we have looked at this morning is those whom are described as facing God's wrath, even when facing his judgment, curse at God and they refuse to repent. Revelation 16:8-9. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. Whilst talk of plagues and judgment can be unsettling, we should also stop to consider the amazing transformative power of the Holy Spirit and lives transformed by God. Psalm 108:8 teaches us that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God will act against evil, but also gives every opportunity and reaches out to anyone who is willing to accept the free gift of salvation. Whilst we can debate aspects of Revelation and if sections refer to the past, present, or future, for some, judgment has, in many respects, already come. Throughout history, there are stories of dictators who held power, were ruthless, but eventually their administrations were overturned, falling from power, often themselves meeting a violent end. Evil does not go unpunished forever. There are also stories of lives transformed, and no one is beyond the reach of God. Many of us are familiar with the Apostle Paul. His ministry is known throughout the world. He wrote large sections of the New Testament and is one of the most read authors in human history. What is remarkable is Paul was formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. He may have been a member of the Sanhedrin, which is an assembly of rabbis appointed as a tribunal. Acts 8:1-3 tells us that he approved the killing of Stephen and persecuted the church. And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. It was on the road to Damascus that Jesus appears to Paul and he was converted to Christianity. Paul himself is evidence of the incredible transformative power of the love of God. It also demonstrates no life is beyond the reach of God. No one is beyond God's love. No one's beyond God's forgiveness. And no life is beyond being turned around. Saul, the persecutor of the church, became Paul, one of its greatest evangelists. I think the final thing to say this morning is to return to that issue of interpretation. It is important that we study the Bible for ourselves and we do not just rely on others to teach us. We are invited by Jesus to seek him. Matthew 7:7-12, ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It is important that we are maintaining our prayer lives and that we test anything we are taught against the word of God. We need to be careful we are not deceived. Brothers and sisters, I leave you this morning with 1 Thessalonians 5:16-23. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your Holy Spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.